From Langdon to Cavalier, from Grafton to Bathgate, from Drayton to Walhalla, from Nitche to Minto, from Mountain to Hamilton, from Pembina to Park River, from the Cavalier Space Force Station to Icelandic State Park and everywhere in between. This is Rendezvous Region Today, and here's your host, Jeremy Ratliff.
Well, happy Saturday, or Sunday, or whatever day you are listening to this podcast episode. I'm Jeremy Ratliff at my home here in Northeast North Dakota, in case you notice a difference here in audio quality. The sun is out today, though it's a bit chilly on the day I'm recording this, Saturday, the 23rd of March, if you are wondering. And the interviews I did that you will hear on this podcast were recorded this week, the first on Monday and the second on Friday, just for some context, especially for the second one. First off, we hear from podcast host Melinda Padilla Lynch. She is much more than just a podcaster, of course, but in this episode, we're going to be talking about her new podcast. I'm all about more podcasts in our state, telling people amazing stories about North Dakota folks, and I wanted to talk to her about her podcast. Also, I got to chat again with North Dakota's own Thai girl Lily Gold again about some great news they got recently and how you can help them. I got to chat with him just hours before they went on the Grand Ole Opry, which is amazing. So let's get started. Well, joining me on the line right now is Melinda Padilla Lynch. Melinda, how are you today?
I'm good.
For folks who don't know who you are and haven't had a chance to hear you speak, can you tell the podcast listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I moved to North Dakota from Kansas City 12 years ago. I moved from, you know, major downtown metropolitan Kansas City to a rural ag-based community, southwest in Bowman, North Dakota, which had at the time 1,900 people. And during my journey, I have just found a love for highlighting women's stories who've moved to North Dakota. Moving to North Dakota, I always feel like, is an act of bravery. And I always thought it was interesting that there were so many families that are moving here, but nobody was really highlighting the women's stories. So I wanted to take a moment and find out, why are women staying here? What makes them want to leave? What makes them call North Dakota home? So I decided to just kind of highlight these women's journeys and call them the modern pioneer. And we do it over a piece of dessert. I usually bring whatever piece of dessert is their favorite, kind of relax them a little bit. Plus, I love dessert.
Yeah, but and yeah, who doesn't? Talk,
yeah, I mean, and pie is mine. So I just felt like it was kind of just an easy fill for that. So I just felt like it was just a good time to really start talking about what attracts people here, because we're always talking about workforce at the state level. You know, we're one of the main three, since I worked for the state, the main three things we always talk about is housing, workforce, and childcare. And I was just thinking, well, why are we not talking to the people who've already moved here? And so that's kind of where this podcast started. It was just my love for hearing other people's stories, the storytelling side of things. And then I just think it's always interesting why people choose North Dakota.
Now, why did you choose to move to North Dakota? And I know this answer, but for our listeners who don't know your full story.
Sure. So we were in Kansas City during the height of the recession in 2008, 2009, and it was just a crazy, chaotic time. My husband was a construction worker, worked for a multi-million dollar home building business, and he just constantly was getting laid off. So we decided to take the plunge, and we saw there were jobs in North Dakota. We didn't know there were jobs all throughout North Dakota, but we found a small town, and we moved here. We thought we'd be here for a year, just like everybody else who moves to North Dakota. Be here for a year, raise, you know, some money, save up, and then move home. But we kind of started falling in love with North Dakota very slowly. We started finding that the values, the work ethic, and then also just we kind of fell in love with the weather too. I know it's crazy, but the summers here are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get a little bit acclimated to the winters. The winters are not always bad every year. You do have some bad years, like last year. But we don't have bad years every year. And so there really was just a slow, for me, it was a very slow love for North Dakota. At first, I wanted out of here as fast as I could. But then I started finding my voice and started finding my niche and my people. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I really started falling in love with it. And now I can't imagine living anywhere else and raising my kids.
Now, talking about what you do for a living, aside from the podcast, do you want to talk a little bit about that and kind of the cool stuff that you had? I know you had like a conference or something that was being planned. I mean, how busy are you? When do you sleep? Let me ask that first, and then you can tell me kind of some of the cool things that you're working on.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that don't require a lot of sleep. I have to be. So we own a construction business, so we stay pretty busy with that. I run a nonprofit called Law Enforcement Administrative Support. Mm-hmm. And I started that when I worked for the city of Bowman. I worked for the police department for 6 years, and I just saw a huge need for training for administrative support staff. And so now I run that as the executive director and the chair, and I have a phenomenal committee. But we run a conference and networking, and I run around the state talking to other law enforcement agencies, trying to get them to send their support staff to our conference. Mm-hmm. And then I also work for the state. And then that's a really great job that I get to travel across the state doing that. And then also, you know, running this podcast and running my own business with, you know, personal professional development workshops. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we do stay very busy in our house. We don't know any other speed. It is a little daunting some days because I feel like the load, there's so many potential and so many opportunities in North Dakota that I feel like I want to accomplish them all, but I have to remember everything's in due time.
Yes. Slow but steady. And yeah.
That's right.
It's hard. It's easier said than done, though. You know?
Yes, I agree.
So you talked a little bit about the podcast. The mission of the podcast. Can you tell folks where they can find the podcast?
So I just started. We just launched our first episode March 1st, and we are on Spotify. And I'm still working on my journey of learning how to edit. Mm-hmm. I decided I did not want to pay someone to do it full time. So it's been a journey for me to learn how to edit, how to download. So right now I'm on Spotify. I would like to get on a few other platforms. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm really proud of myself with is that I want to tell other women that anyone can do this. Like, just buy a little bit of equipment. And, you know, there's so many free apps out there that you could do this. And really, it doesn't have to be fancy. Mm-hmm. It's just a conversation. It's just really just a conversation between two women. And it just happens to be that you are listening in on two women who are eating a piece of dessert and talking about either the live or challenges of North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of it, you know, anybody can do it. I listened to the first episode, and it was excellent. And it sounded really good.
Thank you.
The only complaint I had is that I could hear you talking about pie. And at the time, there was no pie that was in my life at the time that I was listening to it. And it's one of those things where, oh, my goodness, it's hard to beat coffee and pie.
Yes.
Amongst friends, yeah,
I always felt like, you know, like going back to like when people like actually enjoyed spending time more with each other, you know, like mm-hmm. when they would get together and play games and, you know, eating a piece of pie and coffee late at night. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know, that really is what us women have a tendency to do is just we get together over coffee and just share each other's lives. And I don't know how many conversations I've done that with, like, hey, let's go grab coffee. Mm-hmm. And we always get a dessert at Starbucks or the local bakery.
Yeah.
And we just sit down for a couple hours and just hash out our life and share the joys, the lows. And then we just leave with like a sense of like connection. And I feel like there's such a longing for that, especially mm-hmm. in our culture today. And I wanted to bring that back with really highlighting these women's amazing journeys to North Dakota. Like you heard our first episode with Rochelle, you know, yes. coming straight from Jamaica mm-hmm. to Williston. She's never even been to anywhere else in the United States.
Yeah,
she never even researched North Dakota. She just showed up here.
Yes.
And then there's so many women like that who just happen to be here because out of necessity or desperation.
And good business advice in that podcast for sure.
Oh, great. Yes.
So.
Yeah. You know, that's what I love about these women. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I was just going to say I love about these women. They all offer tidbits of like what they have learned over the time mm-hmm. that they've lived in North Dakota. And they're very open to sharing that. And I feel like a podcast is a great platform to do that. It's not intimidating. It's very welcoming to them to hear and for them to bear their souls.
Speaking of the podcast, you listening to that, I believe it was a local bakery in North Dakota, where you are at in the area where you're broadcasting from. You want to talk a little bit about that local bakery?
Sure, yeah. So what I do is I come to you. So if you know of a woman who is a transplant to North Dakota who would love to share the story, I come to you. I bring the dessert, or we meet at somewhere that has dessert. And what we do is we just highlight whatever business, and I try to highlight other women business, women-owned businesses. And Whisk It Good is a woman-owned bakery in Williston. And she let us use one of her office spaces, and then she brought us dessert, which, I mean, you can't beat that. But I always try to, I know, I'm like, thank you, Chelsea. But she is actually one of my guests. She's going to be one of my episodes at the very end. She's actually from San Diego. And we talk about, like, how North Dakota is so open to small businesses. And North Dakota Women's Business Center really helps women own their own businesses, where they really wouldn't be able to do that in their previous states, just because it's so much red tape. There's so much upfront money, and North Dakota really makes that a welcoming place. So I felt like my first episode is really the beautiful picture of someone from another country coming to North Dakota in a woman-owned business spot. You know, what better way of highlighting the journey?
You talk quite a bit about the podcast, what you're trying to do with it and the whole bit. What spurred you to action on this? What inspired you to get moving on this? Because I know we all have so many great ideas and just not enough time at the end of the day. But what kind of pushed you over the top of the, all right, this is happening, we're doing this?
Well, I think what I started doing was accumulating a network of people. And I've always been drawn to other women who are transplants. And I just decided to start really kind of writing those people down and keeping them in a memory. And one of the things that I knew was working at the state, working in community development, and also with regional capacity, that I started noticing this trend of, like, we need more people here. We need more people here. And one of the things I started asking the hard question is, like, are these communities ready for new people? And what can we do to help these communities get better? And so one of the ways I thought at my single person capacity was highlighting these women's journeys, but also giving them cues of saying, what can communities do to help you feel more welcomed? And then also, what can communities do to attract more women to North Dakota?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows the stats, but I think it's usually, it fluctuates between, 53 to 57% men. And then, you know, the remaining is women. There's always more men in North Dakota than women. And so, and especially different parts, you know, the western side of the state, I think it's really even more because of the oil. And so one of the things that really highlighted that kickoff for me was really slowing down and asking, are we talking to the people who are already here? Have you asked them their journey? And have you asked them the challenges of what they face? Instead of trying to hurry up and get all new people here, let's talk to the people who are here. And what challenges did they face? Like, if you're a person of color, did you feel welcomed? Do you feel welcomed more in a big city, a rural community? And I really have found that the rural communities really want new people, but they don't really know how to do that welcoming, integrating aspect, because you're asking people from bigger cities to move in, but it's really hard to acclimate into a rural community where they already have their community culture.
Now, I had another question for you, but before I get to it, I know you, because it kind of goes along the lines of what you're talking about right now. You and I were on a panel together somewhat recently. What advice do you have? Because this goes along with that as well. What advice do you have for folks that may be listening to this podcast that don't live in small town North Dakota and are considering making that jump and moving here, just from your experience moving to the state yourself?
Yeah, what advice would I give them is just that, first off, thank you for thinking of North Dakota. North Dakota is a hidden gem. And one of the things that I always find is that North Dakota really is the land of opportunity, but it's the land of possibilities. And I really think that if you're already thinking about that, you're already brave, because you're moving to a state that's very, you know, not populated. It's not the most popular state to move to. But you really have to start from the bottom up and start looking at resources and looking at what do they have. And so you're really doing a lot of legwork on your own. And so what the advice I would give to them is really find out, what is your true value? Is your value, do you appreciate small town, slow pace, you know, more quietness? Is that what you're looking for? We have it. If you're looking for something a little bit more in the medium style, you know, a little bit more faster paced, a little bit more amenities, but still not cumbersome, we have it. And then we have our bigger cities like Fargo and Bismarck. And we have all of those aspects, but I really think you have to ask, what is your value? What is your ultimate goal? And I think you can accomplish that in North Dakota, but I think it's just slowing down and asking, what is that question? Instead of looking at it as the survival mode, but looking at it long-term.
Makes sense.
Because I think, yeah, I think when we moved to North Dakota, we were in survival mode. Just took any job we could, moved in where we were happy to have housing because there's three houses for sale in the whole town.
Yeah.
But now knowing ourselves and knowing what we actually want, you know, we're looking for something a little bit different. And so, but I think if you have the opportunity to really slow down and ask what your ultimate goal and your value system is, you'll find it in North Dakota, but you have to just maybe look a little harder. And it's all about who you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of my friends, Jitta, who works for the Highway Patrol, and she got stationed in New Salem, and she needed housing. You know who she called? She called the bar and said, hey, do you know of any rentals?
Yeah.
Those little tidbits of moving to a rural community is really helpful. And if you can really ask one person, once you start to get to know people here and asking them, who should I know? That has opened so many doors for me.
Yeah.
Of asking, who should I know? And then that has, people want to help other people in North Dakota, and that's one easy way they can do that for you.
Good stuff. Now, you said you're from Kansas City.
Yep.
Are there any things that you really miss about Kansas City?
Oh, yeah, I miss spring of earlier. Like right now, spring is happening in March in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That was a big transition for me. I remember we were here and it was like March, April, beginning of May. And I'm like, why aren't the trees budding?
Yeah.
Like, why, what is going on? Like, I felt like we were in like this horribly long winter state. I miss like a really good spring and a really long fall here. You know, spring and fall here only last like 6 weeks. And then it's like, boom, you're right into the next season.
Yeah.
I miss that. And the other thing too is raising kids up here by ourselves is really hard. I miss having my brothers and sisters and my extended family to help with kids. So like me and my husband have formed partnership really quickly.
Yeah.
Our marriage has gone to a different level with just being married, but we are now partners in business, but also partners with our kids. Because if I have to travel for work, he has to take off work.
Yeah.
And so knowing like for us, knowing that we really have to really be really open with our communication and also really slow down and ask, is this really something that I need to do or do I want to do or can I not do it? Because where we live is so remote, everything takes forever to get to. So if I have to travel for work, we're looking at 2-3 days for me. And so that has really been, I don't think me and my husband would be as close as we are if we would have lived around family where we had resources.
Yeah.
But since we have to like lean on each other for everything, that's been really, and I find that with a lot of transplants, they don't have anyone. They don't know anyone for their whole life up here, so they don't trust them with their kids. It's not that they don't trust them as people. They just, with their kids, it's a different level.
Yeah.
And so they've learned to be very independent with their partner and raising their kids.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. We were talking about family support. In regards to community support, what has been the support or the reaction to the podcast from local folks that you've heard or that, you know, folks have been involved?
I've gotten really great feedback from it. People really like it. And they're just like, I would have never known that that's their story, their journey. I think people just like assume they get here and then they're just here. But I think we forget about the journey of it. And that's really the, you know, we're here as a destination, but I think that's been really interesting for a lot of locals. And then I think one of the hard questions that locals have to ask themselves is, can we go beyond nice and welcoming? We want, you know, people to look, especially at rural communities, as a place to live, as a, you know, live, work, and play. But are we actually doing what we need to do to set that up to be successful for people who didn't grow up in those areas?
And you mentioned,
so that's been a really great feedback. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now you mentioned, I keep thinking about pie. I know it's ridiculous, but I heard listening to the podcast and then what it keeps coming up in this conversation. Let me ask you a few fun questions here before we wrap up. I mean, what is your, for somebody that likes pie enough to include it in a podcast, which is you and me now, cause I'm talking about it on mine. But what is your favorite kind of pie?
Oh, my favorite kind of pie? Oh, gosh. I am not a discriminatory person of pie whatsoever.
Same here.
creams, fruits, whatever you got. I will take it. I love when our local library does pie day because they have slices.
Yeah.
They sell pie by the slice, and it is not where I need to be with my checkbook sometimes.
Yeah. yeah.
But, yeah, I love it. But one of my favorite things is finding out what other people's favorite desserts are, and that's been really fun.
Okay.
When I find out what your favorite dessert, and I bring you, you know, like one of my favorite people, their favorite was tiramisu, and the other one was strawberry tarts. And so finding that for them has been really fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a favorite guest or segment or episode so far, or you just love them all at this point?
Well, of course I love them all, but I think...
Good answer.
That's right, yeah. My friend Jenna Clausen, who is coming up in two more episodes. This week we have Yolanda Rojo. She's coming on. She actually is finding... She came from Tucson, Arizona, in the middle of the night to Wofford City. Mm-hmm. And she has founded the Hispanic Advocacy of North Dakota.
Yeah.
So without her, North Dakota would not be the same for Hispanics. But next episode after that is going to be Jenna Clausen with the Highway Patrol.
Okay.
And her episode, she's from Montana. But one of the things I think is very interesting is people think that Montana and North Dakota are the same. But you listen to her and her journey, how much she had that Montana pride and how much she was like, they literally had to rip my driver's license out of my hand.
Oh, wow.
And just listening to that state pride and what she gave up to come to North Dakota to pursue her job with the Highway Patrol. And then also what she started with the culture liaison program right after DAPL. That was massive. And then also her own journey as being in law enforcement and as a mother and what that has come to do with her community around her to support her when she went through a really hard time. That I love that journey because it shows all the different aspects of what most women face when they move to a new state.
Now we've talked pie, we've talked guests, now podcast here. So what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Okay. There is one that is by a guy, the Mandan Murders.
Okay.
He highlights North Dakota murders, but he did a phenomenal piece on the Mandan Murders. It's a 9-part series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that one is a really great one. It's North Dakota. It's Dakota Spotlight. Strengthen and D does a really great one highlighting North Dakota like nonprofits and then also highlighting North Dakota people who've really made a difference. Yeah, these are two that I go to that are just my go-to when I want to hear about North Dakota things and keeping it close to home. So the Strengthen and D one is called Little Podcast on the Prairie. I love that. And then the one about the North Dakota murders, just it goes back to my law enforcement days. It's called Dakota Spotlight.
So in regards to the podcast here that we've been talking about, your podcast, what are some ways that our listeners here, Rendezvous Region Today, can support you with your podcast?
Oh, sure. I would love if they went and listened, gave it a like, shared it. Also, if they know of a woman who's, you know, moved to North Dakota and would like to share their journey, I would love to come. You know, to every corner of the state. I'm hoping to get to the northeast corner here pretty by summer. I have a couple people there. When I do go to doing interviews, I like to cluster them just to save with capacity and time. But yeah, I think one of the things is just being open to listening and opening to asking those hard questions of yourself and your community. Are we ready? And if we're not ready, what do we need to be ready? Those are really great questions I think every North Dakota needs to ask.
Yeah. Well, Melinda, I appreciate your time. I know you're super busy, so thanks for carving out some time for us today and talking about pie and guests and the podcast and your mission. And once again, thank you so much and hope you have a good rest of the day.
Thank you again. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
All right. Take care. And joining me on the line once again here, they were recently on the podcast, Kendra and Krista with Tiger Lily Gold. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. Now, I know we talked recently, but since then, you got some pretty big news. I'm sure a lot of the podcast listeners already know about this, but I just wanted to touch base with you on that. I believe it's two CMT awards that you've been nominated for, right?
Yes. too, which is absolutely crazy. We were not expecting it at all. And so we're just so honored and so excited. And we get to go to the CMT Awards. And, you know, we're nominated with people like Dan and Shay and Old Dominion and Brothers Osborne. And we're pretty excited around here.
And folks can vote online.
Yes.
Up and I think it's was up until the day, right?
I think it's up until April 1st. So mm-hmm. not quite, because the awards are April 7th, but we have a lot more days to vote. But the thing is, the CMT Awards, you get 10 votes a day, but if you vote category, mm-hmm. per category.
Okay.
But if you vote between 12 and 1 Central Time, the votes count for double. Yeah. So that's the best time to vote. But yes,
okay.
we still have a full, a week left of voting.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Now, what we'll do is we will share the link at the podcast Facebook page. So anybody listening right now, you can find it there. Obviously, you want to vote within the allotted amount of time given. And real quick, before I let you guys go, where are you touring right now? I know you're busy. You were across the pond. Are you still overseas now, or are you back home?
No, we are back home now. We were in Europe for about 10 days. We did 6 shows over there in Scotland and London. And then we were just in Connecticut. We're about to be in Florida for Tortuga Festival right before the CMT Awards. And tonight we're playing the Grand Ole Opry. So it's good to be back in Nashville for a show. But lots of shows coming up. So just make sure to check tigerlily.com for, you know, all the dates. And we're definitely coming back home this summer. So check it out. Yeah, we were actually in Paris when mm-hmm. we found out that we were nominated for the CMT Awards. So it was a pretty surreal experience.
Yeah.
That, it was not how I anticipated that going, mm-hmm. but it's both Kendra and I's first award nomination as a band after 11 mm-hmm. years. So it's pretty special to us. Yeah. Yeah. We're very excited.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, congrats to both of you. And hopefully some of our listeners listening right now will go out and vote for both of you. We'll share that link up. And Kendra and Krista, I know you're busy. I have a good show tonight at the Grand Ole Opry. Well, I can't believe I'm saying that. And thank you so much for your time. All right.
Thank you. Yes. And this is fan voted. So we cannot win unless people vote. So thank you for giving us a shout out on here. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope to talk soon.
Sounds good. Well, you have a wonderful rest of the day, okay?
You too. Talk to you later.
Take care. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Rendezvous Region Today. If you would like your business, organization, farm, or group to be a sponsor on an episode, please reach out on the Facebook page or by sending an email to jratliffmedia@gmail.com. If you have any ideas for interviews, please send those my way as well by Facebook or by email. Once again, the email address is jratliffmedia@gmail.com. And this episode is a production of J. Ratliff Media. The podcast intro and outro music is courtesy of my friend, Joel Trowbridge. And other music you have heard on this podcast episode is from my friend, Aaron Ruiz. Thanks for listening, and please continue to listen to future podcast episodes of Rendezvous Region Today. I'm Jeremy Ratliff.